we've been challenged to take the gospel personally. We began a series last week to make a commitment to own and obey the great commission that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. And so as we opened last week, we did so by considering the value of one, the individual. We need to stop thinking necessarily in terms of reaching the world, though certainly as a collective group we are called to reach the world. We need to think in terms of, God, who do you want me to reach personally? And act on that. We need to consider again the purpose of Jesus, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and then communicated that commission to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then we were challenged to own the mission for ourselves. Much of this series is about giving you some practical tips that will help you in accomplishing this commission, but we need to make a commitment to the commission if we're going to effectively put these tips into use. Without a commitment to our commission, these helps really won't help you. And so our focus is turning today from last week, where we talked about making a difference, to presenting the gospel. I want to focus this evening on just a basic gospel presentation that you can take, tailor, and use in gospel interactions. And I hope it will be a help and a challenge to you this evening. The story is told of a newly saved barber who, after he was saved, wanted to share his newfound faith and witness to lost people. And so he thought, who better to share the gospel with than my customers as they come into the barber shop? And so the next morning, the first customer came in and took his seat and asked the barber for a shave. And as the barber lathered the shaving cream, he was thinking in his mind, he was searching for the right words, and he was trying to muster up the courage to share his faith with this customer. And finally he stood before his customer with the razor positioned in his hand, and he began to shave him while he asked, are you prepared to meet God? Maybe not the best way, I suppose, in that situation to handle it. But there are some ways that we can go about using a basic gospel presentation to help us in gospel interactions. And by the way, can I simply make this statement and challenge to you? Because our thought might start to be, well, I don't really have gospel interactions. Well, I would ask you to think back then to making a difference, making a commitment. Because I will make you a promise that I have no problem making. If you have a commitment to the commission that Jesus gave us, in other words, if you have a sincere commitment, God, I will reach others with your gospel. I will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and open to you and willing to take that step of faith, to use the courage and the strength that you give me to share your word with somebody else. I promise you that you'll be put in situations of gospel interaction. It will happen. And so, I just want to help you with three keys that are important regarding presenting the gospel. And we're going to begin by looking here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Notice what the Bible says. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Excuse me. Through this passage and various other passages, we'll discuss understanding the gospel, giving the gospel, and then persuading to the gospel. So I want you to see, first of all, with me, understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. Very simple question: what is the gospel? When we begin talking about the gospel, do we understand what it is that we are talking about? You see, if we want to clearly share the gospel with others, and I'm sure that's what our heart would be, right? If I'm going to actually begin to speak to someone else about the gospel, I want to be able to clearly share what the gospel is, then we need to be clear on what the gospel is. And Paul clearly identified the gospel here in the text. He says in verse number 1, I declare unto you the gospel. He said to the Corinthians, this is what I have declared and preached unto you. This is what you've received. This is what you stand in. And this is what you are saved by. This is the gospel. What is it? In verse 3, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Hey friends, here it is very simply in a nutshell. What is the gospel? Here it is. It's the truth that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And by the way, that is the message that we've been commissioned to share with others. We've not been commissioned per se just to share how wonderful our church is. We've not been commissioned to stand on someone's front porch or sit in their living room and talk about the political climate of the day. We've not been called and commissioned to talk about, you know, the latest fishing story or whatever is going on in the news. Small talk like that is fine in its place. But what we've been commissioned to do with others is to share with them the news, the truth, that Jesus died for their sins according to the Word of God, that he was buried and rose again according to the Word of God. That is what we've been commissioned to share with others. Now, based on that reality, let me give you 3 tips about understanding the gospel. I'll give them each to you, and then we'll talk about them for a few moments. First, don't overstate the gospel. Second, don't understate the gospel. And then thirdly, don't underestimate the gospel. These are great tips that I believe will really help us. On Monday afternoon, I had been helping with some things around the house and had put in a couple of loads of laundry. I went to the washer after one load of laundry had gotten done. And as I began pulling some of the clothes out of the washing machine to move them over to the dryer, I was noticing a substance that was foreign to me. Something that I would not have expected to be in the washing machine after a load of wash had been done. It was these small, almost like pellet, pebble type things that were kind of jelly-like. And after a few moments, I said something to Stephanie. Stephanie, I don't know what is going on. And then it dawned on me. Some way, somehow, a diaper has ended up in the washer with this load of laundry. So sure enough, I'm pulling out the clothes little by little, and all those little gel things that are for absorption have come out all over into that load of laundry, and I'm digging through these different clothes, and finally I found it. Here was a balled up, yes, at one time dirty diaper that had been balled up and thrown in with the laundry. And Stephanie said, the only thing I can imagine is I asked Evelyn to help me to throw a diaper away, and she put it in the clothes hamper instead of the trash can. Well, let me tell you, when you are doing a load of laundry, one of the last things that you want in the washing machine with that laundry to get it clean is a dirty diaper. It makes a mess all over the place. We had to rewash a couple of times to get rid of all those pebbles. Here's the simple application from the illustration. We need to be cautious when we are thinking about the gospel and giving out the gospel, not to include things that dirty what it is we're trying to accomplish. And that's where these tips come in. Don't overstate the gospel. Understand who we live with, the society we live in. We need to be careful of using terms, of sharing theories and doctrinal trivialities that do not reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're giving a gospel presentation and you're using terms that maybe you even struggle to understand completely, you don't need to feel like you need to use terms like vicarious atonement, substitution, propitiation, and so on, unless you're about to explain those terms. Those terms are not necessary to a gospel presentation. Don't talk about theories, or don't get into doctrinal trivialities, differences between denominations or church groups that don't even reflect the truth of the gospel with a lost person. All you're going to accomplish is confusing and frustrating gospel interactions in things that are not necessary to bring a lost person to Jesus Christ. Think about when you trusted Christ. How many of you trusted Christ as a child? Did you understand propitiation? Some of you are looking at me, I'm not sure I do right now either. Those things are not necessary in a gospel presentation. Don't overstate the gospel. Don't add things that are not necessary. But then, the second part was, don't understate the gospel. Think about what is necessary for someone to come to Christ. For someone to come to Christ, they need to make a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ in response to an awakening of sin and condemnation. That is absolutely necessary. In other words, for someone to be able to be saved, to trust Christ as Savior, they do need to be awakened to their sin and their condemnation before God because of that sin, and they personally need to decide to trust Jesus Christ. It is not enough to simply pray over someone. I have heard accounts of people even coming forward in a church service to the altar and the pastor leaning over, why have you come? I need to be saved. And a pastor just praying over that person and declaring that person saved. No. It's not enough just to lead someone in a prayer. I remember when I was a teenager, when the church my dad pastored was getting ready to start a bus ministry, we went with one of the other local churches on their outreach just to kind of see how they went about inviting people on their bus routes. And I got paired up with another young person. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. He was a young person, and he was doing what he could. But I remember we knocked on somebody's door, and a lady answered. And in about 2 minutes, he simply read the gospel tract verbatim and then said, didn't ask any questions, said, now say this, dear Jesus. The lady's like, dear Jesus, and he led her in a sinner's prayer and declared her saved. Now, I'm not the Lord. I don't know that woman's background or what her heart was, what she knew or didn't know of the gospel before then. But my sneaky suspicion is she didn't even have a clue what she was doing at the time, let alone what was necessary to come to Christ. So my simple point is we need to be careful not to overstate the gospel, but we need to be careful about not understating it, praying over someone or leading someone in a prayer who is unsettled, unready, or even just unwilling to do so. And then I also said, thirdly, don't underestimate the gospel. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Please listen to this thought very carefully. The limitations placed on the gospel are always man-made, not God-made. The limitations placed on the gospel are always man-made, not God-made. In other words, well, God wouldn't or couldn't save that person. Well, I don't know about that situation for this, that, or the other. I'm not going to worry about trying to reach so-and-so or that individual, or, you know, so-and-so is too intellectual or too wealthy, or so-and-so has been too warped by other things, is in too much trouble for one reason or another. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 18. After he had a conversation with that rich man who went away sorrowful, not responding to Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 18, 24 through 27, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Listen to what the disciples took from that. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus essentially said, guys, be careful. Listen to what he said. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We should never write somebody off, never underestimate the gospel. So understand the gospel simply. It's the message that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, according to the Word of God. Number two this evening, giving the gospel. If you understand what the gospel is and understand that you're commissioned to give the gospel, then we should work at it. Would you agree with that this evening? If you understand the gospel and you're commissioned to give it, then we ought to actually work at it, right? Certainly we should. How can you do so? Let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one, develop your preparation. Develop your preparation. You understand the gospel, you understand you are commissioned to give the gospel. Let me ask you, are you prepared to fulfill your commission and commitment? I know Jesus has commissioned me to give the gospel, and Pastor, I heard the message last Wednesday evening that yes, I need to do that, and I made a commitment to the Lord. My question to you is, are you prepared to fulfill that? This is what developing your preparation is all about. If you were placed in a gospel interaction right now, what would you do? What would you say? How would you carry out that gospel interaction? We'll talk more about it in just a moment. Let me give you the second thought. Develop your preparation. Secondly, develop your presentation. Are you prepared to fulfill your commission and commitment? Now, are you prepared to follow up on your commission and commitment? Now, in the future weeks, we're going to look at some messages about opening the conversation, answering questions, and so on. But right now, I'm going to just assume that you're in a gospel conversation. So I want you to kind of imagine a scenario in your mind with me. You know you're commissioned, you've made a commitment, now you're stepping out to fulfill that commission and commitment. You are in a gospel interaction. You have led into a gospel conversation. What do you do? What do you say? You know, you can search Google and you can find a number of basic gospel presentations that you can follow and use. You can even find videos nowadays. I saw several videos, just I'm assuming it was a pre-set up, you know, situation where someone, you know, all dressed up, I mean, suit, tie, the whole works, knock on someone's door and someone answers and they go right into a gospel presentation. You can find those things, but I think one of the best is found right in the Word of God. It's found in Acts 17. I want you to look at it with me this evening. Acts chapter 17. One of the reasons I like this gospel presentation in the Word of God is because I think that Paul was in a culture that is much like our culture today. He was in a society, a culture that was not Christian, and we are, even here in the United States of America, very much in a post-Christian culture. And he, Paul, as he dealt with the people of Athens, went through a very concise, succinct gospel presentation, identifying what is key to identify when you are seeking to share the gospel with someone. In Acts 17, verses 23 through 31, we read, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Hey, Paul breaks the ice. He's getting into a gospel presentation. But he says, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or men's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." How's that for a gospel presentation? You say, "Pastor, you want me to memorize that and just kind of repeat that word for word?" No, just take the key points. Here they are. You ready? Write them down. Identify God in his word. Very simply, what Paul did as he began this gospel presentation was he gave identity to God in the Word of God. He spoke of God as the Creator. He spoke of God as Judge. But he also spoke about a God who loves us enough to want a relationship with us. That's why in the end of verse 27 he says, "Though he be not far from every one of us." And then in verse number 30, he talked about God commanding all men everywhere to repent. Where do we get that? The Word of God. So something that's important as I am in a gospel conversation with someone to understand is to help that person to understand that I am sharing with them something that is not my opinion, it's not my theory, it's something that we believe comes from God himself, from the Word of God, that is God's message to us. This isn't something I came up with, it's not something I developed, it's not even just the dogma that my church stands on. This is the very Word of God. It's important to make that very clear. Second key point, if you will, is to identify sin. Paul does that clearly, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." That identifies man's sin. In verse 31, he speaks of God judging the world in righteousness. That identifies man's sin. Again, for someone to come to Christ, there needs to be an awakening of sin and condemnation. That's why in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, Jesus said that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. You see, for a man to come to Jesus Christ, he needs to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that he is a sinner, that God is righteous and he has fallen far short of God's glory, Romans 3:23, and that there is judgment to come, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And Paul does all of that right here in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. But then third, identify God and his word, identify sin. Thirdly, identify the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's the good news. Though we are condemned before God because of our sin, Romans chapter 3, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. God hath declared all the world guilty before him. But in Romans chapter 3, we also find that God hath manifested forth his Son, and that we can be saved through him. So identify the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you will do these three things, it really doesn't matter what you fall back on as far as a presentation. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I've used a multitude of presentations. I don't think there's any method necessarily that is, this is a right method, this is a wrong method, unless it's just undoctrinal. But you can use different methods. Hey, you can download apps nowadays and show people on your phone with pictures and the verses and everything. Just click right through it. But these elements are important. Identify God and his word. Identify sin. Identify the death and resurrection of Jesus. So develop your preparation. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Get in. Understand the gospel, memorize verses about sharing the gospel that will motivate you, and memorize verses that you can use in gospel conversations. Develop your presentation. Think about what I need to say, how I should say it. And it's really more simple than we often make it. And then let me give you three. Our time is almost gone. We've talked about understanding the gospel, giving the gospel, and then thirdly, I want you to think about persuading to the gospel. Persuading to the gospel. Listen to me carefully and help me here. What is the end goal of a gospel conversation? When I have a gospel interaction with an individual, what is my goal? To lead them to the Lord, right? To see them make a decision for Jesus Christ. Now, what I am not saying by saying that is that it's completely up to you. Is it? No. It is not completely up to you. And we need to immediately wash that thought from our thinking. Well, if I walk away and someone does not make a decision for Christ, I must have said something wrong, or I must not have done it right. If I had done it right, they would have gotten saved. No. How often was Jesus rejected? You think it was because he made some mistake in his presentation? No. The gospel's offensive. He's a rock of stumbling. That will happen. But what I'm saying is this, is that we need to be careful when we are giving gospel presentations to understand that ultimately we do want to bring them to a point of decision. And that is a key part of our gospel presentation. We share the gospel to encourage a response to the gospel, and there are three keys to keep in mind when considering how to do this. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, sensitivity to the Spirit. When you're thinking about bringing someone to that point of decision, first and most importantly, you need to be sensitive to the Spirit when you're conversing with them during a gospel interaction. The Spirit will bring questions to mind to ask them, scriptures to mind, and reminders that will be useful during that interaction. In other words, when you've given that gospel presentation and you're trying to close the net, as it were, to bring them to a point of decision, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, who may bring a scripture reference back to mind, or a verse that you've memorized or committed to your heart, who may bring a question, a pointed question to ask that individual at that moment, or some reminder that will aid you in leading to a decision. Second key is this: attentiveness to the situation. Be attentive to the response or lack of response from the individual with whom you are interacting. You know, it can be obvious very quickly based on someone's verbal response or their body language cues that will lead you to a right response, especially when you're in a cold turkey situation. You know what I mean by that, don't you? You knock on someone's door, you invite them to church, God opens a door, you share the gospel with them briefly. It will become obvious fairly quickly based on what they say, how they respond to you with just their body language and expression, what type of a response you are getting, and then your response can be taken off of that response. If someone's very open and eager in listening, now it would be time to question them to make a decision then and there. If someone is standoffish or indicates not having the time, friend, that does not necessarily mean it's a closed door. You can always ask about an opportunity to come back and then actually try to schedule that and get back there. But be attentive to the situation. And then thirdly, understand the signals. Understand the signals. Pastor, what do you mean by that? There are three possible responses to the gospel, and understanding these will aid us in knowing how to follow up. Look, if you're still in Acts 17, look at them. They're all right here. Look at verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some what? Mocked. What is that? That's rejection. They've heard the gospel and they've rejected it. And then it says, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. What is that? That's delay, right? It's still an open door, but it's a delay. Hey, we need time to ponder this. Think about it. But then verse 34 says this: howbeit certain men clave unto him and what? Believed. Some believe. Here is what we will experience corporately and individually when we are committed to our commission from Jesus Christ. There'll be times we'll experience rejection. There'll be times that we'll experience delay. Some will say, you know, I need a little more time to think about it. Come talk to me again another time. But then there will be those who will come to Jesus Christ. Let me challenge you to make two commitments related to this message. I'm going to give them to you and we'll be done. And they were part of the message already. But you might be thinking, Pastor, what do I do with the information? Two things. Number one, develop your preparation. Number two, develop your presentation. How do I do that? Develop your preparation. Again, memorize scripture that deals with sharing the gospel, and scripture to use in gospel interactions. Mark your Bible that you carry with you so you'll easily find verses to use. Always have gospel tracts in your possession. If you don't have gospel tracts in your purse, in your wallet, in your car, in your home, wow. I mean, that's very simple. It's something we should have with us at all times. Develop it. Develop your presentation. Make an actionable plan to develop yourself as a witness for Jesus Christ. You might be here tonight and say, you know, I've never really gotten serious about this. I've never really taken it personally to be involved in sharing the gospel with someone else. Okay, make an actionable plan to develop as a witness for Jesus Christ. Maybe you should spend some more time with someone that you know is an experienced soul winner. Ask them, hey, can I join you on the church outreach? Can I join you just sometime when you're sitting down with someone to discuss the gospel with them and just be a partner with you. Maybe you are more experienced. Take someone else under your wing. Ask them to go with you and help them. If we believe that this is our commission, we've made a commitment to it, then we need to get to work at it. And I hope that these simple thoughts will help you to put your commitment into action. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening for just a moment? And as we're considering just what I hope has been some challenge, but also just some practical thoughts about our commitment and commission to the gospel, that maybe the Lord is continuing to work in your heart. Maybe you'd say tonight, Pastor, God is working in my heart. I know that I can develop myself as a soul winner for Jesus Christ. And God is working in my heart along those lines tonight. And I'm asking you to pray with me that I'll follow through in some ways to develop as a soul winner of Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. God's dealing with my heart. Many hands. I see those hands. You can put them down. Praise the Lord. As I pray, would you just there in your own heart pray and ask God to help you to make that commitment to Him and then take some steps to follow through? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for its truth, for how you minister to our hearts through it. I pray you'd help us to take these thoughts and apply them as we should, as you lead us to our lives. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you got a form as we began.